Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is a good day. It's kind of a cloudy and gloomy day here in St. Louis, a little chilly, but that's right. It feels like fall, and that's a good thing here. It's also a time to think about doing things outdoors, and you might not necessarily be thinking about planting. Some might be planting maybe those some of those bulbs that you plant in the fall so you have beautiful flowers, or maybe thinking about doing some mums and things like that. But we're going to talk about gardens today. Gardens? Why gardens on Faith and Family? Well, you'll find out in just a little bit. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. To find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, go to our website, kfuo.org, and look for the sponsor section. You can find Concordia University, Wisconsin there in the sponsor section because they are a proud supporter of Worldwide KFUO. We're glad to have them as partners with us. And so we can bring you this program, Faith and Family, talking about faithful family life and things that are important to us as families in the body of Christ. So go check it out, kfuo.org, and look for Concordia University, Wisconsin there in the sponsor section. Joining me by phone today, we have the Reverend Dietrich Gladden, pastor at St. Paul Community Lutheran Church in Pontiac, Michigan. Good morning, Pastor Gladden. How are you this morning?
I am doing fine. Thank you for having me.
It's good to have you this morning joining us. This is, I believe, this is the first time that you and I have gotten to talk here on Faith and Family. So I look forward to talking about what's going on at St. Paul Community Lutheran Church there in Pontiac here in just a little bit.
Okay.
Also joining us by phone today, the Reverend Tim Holzerland from Shepherd King Lutheran Church in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Pastor Holzerland, thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's good to get to talk with you again.
You're welcome.
And so the reason we're talking this morning, your congregations have something in common, and that is community gardens. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. Community gardens, why community gardens, what are you doing with those? But first, before we even get into that, I want to talk about your congregations and the communities where your congregations are. I want our listeners to understand the communities in which you serve and paint a picture for us about those communities. Help us understand who are the people that you live amongst, that you serve there. What is life like for them, and what is daily life like in the neighborhoods around your congregation? Let's start with Pastor Gladden. Tell us about Pontiac, Michigan, and where St. Paul Community Lutheran Church is.
St. Paul Community Lutheran Church is on the northern side of Pontiac, Michigan, and the big thing is it's a multicultural area, and what we have is we have a lot of Hispanics, a lot of Afro-Americans, Caucasians, we have some Hmong, we have some Muslim, Hindu, and others. It's not a large community, but it's a community that's trying to rebound with the multicultural asset. We have a lot of diversity of churches. Now, we are the only Lutheran church in Pontiac, the last Lutheran church in Pontiac. There were three others. There were two others here before. There were three of us. But over the years, with the transcending of loss of jobs through GM, because right up the street on Joslin Avenue, we have a big GM plant with the loss of jobs and stuff, you know, the community has changed. Mm-hmm. And along with that, we have a lot of issues with gangs, a lot of issues with drugs, and also other income problems that happen. We have a lot of transit people from Detroit area that move to Pontiac and then move on further. It's a low-income area, but in the city, they have people who have been here for years and trying to establish different areas. What we try to do is be a hub in the area to try to help and assist, like the Oakland County Nurses Association and other associations around there, around in Pontiac. So we're out reaching out to the community, trying to bring the gospel. Like our motto is reaching the people with the gospel that changes lives. So we're just trying to bring God's gospel to people that can hear it and allowing the Holy Spirit to go in and change their lives. But also, like Jesus stood with many of the parables and stories that you hear in the Bible, Jesus talked to Zacchaeus and said, "Hey, look, I'm going to your house." And by the Holy Spirit going there, lives in that family was transformed. So that's what we're trying to do.
Pastor Olsterlund, tell us about the community where Shepherd King Lutheran Church is located.
Well, we're just south of Pontiac. So part of our borders Pontiac.
Yeah.
And I would describe our community in somewhat the same way of being diverse racially and religiously. The biggest difference, I think, between Pontiac and West Bloomfield is our economic base. West Bloomfield is considered more of an affluent community, which has a number of lakes in West Bloomfield and a number of very large and luxurious homes on those lakes. So it's a pretty dramatic contrast when you travel around West Bloomfield and then take one of the roads into Pontiac. You notice the difference almost automatically.
So we have two congregations, not that far from one another, but two pretty different communities in some sense in terms of a socioeconomic background. We've got some diversity here, so this will be interesting. Both congregations have chosen to build or to develop community gardens and as a means to engage the community and connect with the community. Let's talk about the lifestyle of the families in the community. Now, Pastor Olsterlund, you mentioned, the family homes are pretty luxurious in the community where you live. What's the lifestyle like for many of these families? Are these families with children and super busy schedules? What does life look like for these families in West Bloomfield?
Some of it probably falls into that category, with families with children, extremely busy, very determined in their education and their pursuits. The other portion of West Bloomfield I would describe as people who are in their late 50s or older, and these are people who are well established in the area. In their professions, there are people who are now looking at an opportunity to have some leisure time or maybe a little bit more time now available to do other things outside of work. And so that's kind of a portion of our community, I would say, described in kind of those two fashions.
And Pastor Gladden, tell us about, you mentioned that because of the economic change, because of the loss of jobs in the community, that certainly has impacted the neighborhoods where St. Paul is located, correct?
Yes, it has truly impact the neighborhoods that we have, that we do live in and that we do serve. The one thing that I notice here is, like all other inner city areas, there's not a lot for people to grasp onto, and most of the children and families fall into they try to go on and do create economical opportunities in different ways, which would lead to unlawful things. So I mean, you have to help them guide and, by being here, create opportunities for them to stand up and do the right thing.
What's a typical home look like in the neighborhoods where St. Paul is located in Pontiac? We were talking about West Bloomfield, nice big luxurious homes. What's a typical family home look like from an honest perspective?
From a perspective around our area, there's a lot of homes that are being torn down because of demolitions and stuff, and the city's condemning them because they weren't well taken care of. And then we have those small tract homes where they're probably less than 1,000 square feet or 1,000 to 1,200 square foot. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of those homes are laid out on the streets to where they're close together and they're not well taken care of. With the financial stuff, you run into people's homes that are overgrown, people not taking care of them, roofs not being done. Also, where people have a home, but right next door there's vacancies. People living in homes that are vacancies, squatting, which they call around here, unlawfully. And, you know, they're always looking for, we have a lot of homeless walking around in certain parts of Pontiac, too. So, I mean, the with the economical challenge, those homes and homes around here, a lot of them are, they're not being taken care of. But there are people who honestly go out and they try to take care of their homes the best way they can. So you have both, but it's like a 10% to 10% to 90%, to where 90% of the homes aren't really taken care of the way they should be because of the job loss, because of not having the right opportunity to do things.
So there are definitely some needs there in Pontiac, a neighborhood that has needs. How familiar are the families of the community? How familiar is the neighborhood with your congregation right there in the neighborhood? Do people really do honestly looking at it? Does the neighborhood know who St. Paul Community Lutheran Church is there in Pontiac?
Well, a lot of people knew who our church was before Pablo Ministries and the district really stepped in to help out about 8 years ago. But as we have gone along and created different opportunities like the garden and barbecues and different programs that are running, people are learning that we're here. And with those programs, the door is being open. And people are coming and looking for help, and we're able to not only just help them fit with physical needs, mental needs, but that spiritual need that people are looking for that can take them to the next level of life.
Pastor Olsrelin, you know, knowing that West Bloomfield, as you said, is a bit of an affluent community, people might think that there aren't needs or not as many needs in the West Bloomfield area. Is that true? Are there no unmet needs in the neighborhood? And does the community know who Shepherd King Lutheran Church is?
Well, I think there's still some needs in the neighborhood, and we have in our property a large tract of land, probably like 3 or 4 acres, and for many years it's just been a grassy open area. It's been kept up, mowed, and whatnot, but it's just been this big, large green space. And so members of our congregation approached me and said, you know, I think we would love to have a community garden and open it up to everyone. And since we had all of that space, we really took a leap of faith and opened up 100 plots, 20 by 5 feet. And what was interesting is that we put a sign, said community garden, you know, come and register, and we had everything, forms ready to go, and how we were going to organize it. And the biggest kind of roadblock was the fact that people would call, and community garden for some people meant the community of Shepherd King. So they would call and say, you know, I saw your community garden and you had, you know, plots available and things along that line, but is that for everyone or is it just for people of your church? Which was really interesting to me that we would put up a sign saying community garden and people would say, oh, well, that's not, you know, that's church. They're just advertising to their own people at church,
sure,
and to the community in general. And once that word got out, community means anybody, then all of a sudden we have people, you know, coming and getting plots, getting information. I'll share one story of one of our faithful members who has a dentist in West Bloomfield and goes to that dentist. And she said, you know, she was talking about her church, and the dentist said, now where is that? And it says it's on the corner of Middle Belt and Maple Road in West Bloomfield. And he said, oh, is that the church with the garden? So now I'm understanding it's in a prominent kind of area where a lot of people travel on those two different roads. They see us as the church with the garden, which is kind of unique. But yeah, I think the garden was really one of the ways in which I think people driving by recognized the garden first and then said, oh, there's a church next door.
It's funny how it works out that way, but it did. It there's something different now. It catches their attention, and not just driving by and, you know, not even noticing there's a church there, but now noticing it, actually noticing it's there because of something that changed. And there's activity going on there, I would assume, too, right?
Yeah, most of the people who sign up, there's kind of two different groups of people who sign up for the plots. I'd say one are kind of the trendy people. Gardening is very popular and growing local and whatnot. And so these are the people who live in the area, and they drive by our church to go to work or going home from work.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll see some activity early in the morning, or later about 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening. They're coming home from work, they're checking the garden, they're working in it, and so on and so forth. The other group that we've opened it up to is a community that's south of us in Farmington, Michigan. There is a mission we've taken on called Head Start of Farmington. And they're low-income families who have this government assistance of Head Start. And we've kind of adopted them as our mission. And so we open up a certain number of plots available to them for free that they can come and garden, grow vegetables, have some healthy additions to their families and things that are inexpensive. And so those are kind of the two groups of people. Our congregation always wants to reach out to neighboring areas that need help and assistance in a way that we'd be able to do that. So that's one of the areas that we're kind of focusing on is those families at Head Start. But another group is just people who like to garden in general.
Pastor Gladden, tell us how the community garden got started at St. Paul in St. Paul Community Lutheran Church there in Pontiac.
Well, I had been riding around. My daughter goes to Concordia. Well, she used to go to Concordia Ann Arbor. She graduated last year, and I used to ride by his church on Maple and make the turn down the middle belt to Maple and make the turn. And I would look at his garden all the time, and I go, okay, that's what I want to do. But then I'd see other churches that were doing it. And then there was one evening where I was talking to one of the kids that had just gotten into trouble. And it was probably 3 years ago where he was in the boys' home here in Pontiac, Children's Village, and I went to visit him, and he said, you know what, I really want to change my life. So I said, well, I heard that you really like gardening. So we plotted out a set of land here, and we have a area, it's probably 20 by 60 foot, and so we made 15 spots. But that first year, we just plotted out some land just to get the experience, and he came in, and he planted and made the rows for us. And all of the vegetables and the watermelon and the cantaloupe, and his family became a part of it. And Preston and his family and his mom and his little brothers and sisters, they all were out there working the garden. And it really built up from there. And then over the next 2 years, we sat down and we said, okay, what do we really want to do? How do we want to reach the community with this? Because it's open. It's a garden that's open, and people can come in and take whatever they want, however they want. Some people come in, like he said, that are people who really love gardening, and they come to our church, and they come in and help us weed and stuff. So over the next year or so, we decided, how do we really want to do this? St. Matthew's came up with one awesome idea. Gardening in a bucket. So this year we added gardening in a bucket, where we had a 5-gallon bucket with two bags of soil, and we gave them some seeds, and they were able to grow a garden on their porch. If you live in an apartment and you have a balcony, you can grow a small garden of tomatoes or peppers or herbs or stuff, and so that reached out to the community. We gave out 20 or so of those this year. But with our garden and all of that, we have people that are around us with gardens in their backyard, and it's a great way to communicate and talk. And what we did is we start swapping stuff and bartering with them, saying, hey, look, we grow tomatoes. Our tomatoes come out really big, and so we would exchange them with other people. So what it did is it opened up in our community, a little community of people who love to do things, and where we have elderly and youth and families that are going through troubles. I have one lady, she's brings her grandchildren. She has 20 grandchildren, but there's 5 grandchildren that have been going through something really harsh, and she brought them this year, and they came out and they weeded. They weeded the garden, so it's families bringing them together from the church, from other churches in our community, and getting them to come to our church, not just because of the garden, but for other things too. So it's been that great evangelism thing that it really reached out into the community, and we were able to bring it in so many facets. And I love that the pastor had his garden in a position where I can see it, and other pastors had their garden, but it allowed us to help out in a community and reach a community that opened doors for communication and stuff. What we've done also is we set up to where our youth group has 3 plots. We have 15 plots. Our youth group has 3 plots. A youth group from another church here has 5 plots, and they take care of their garden. Our church has 2 plots, and then we have about 4 or 5 other plots that we have 5 or 6 people from the community and their families. They come and they garden, and but we're out there on Saturdays, we're out there on Fridays, we're watering, they're watering, you know, and it just creates a great place for the community to come and be lifted up, and we can live in faith together, and the gospel can be preached without even saying a word.
The families that came and started, you know, using some of those plots, the families from the neighborhood that have started using those plots, how did they find out about those plots? How did they find out about that opportunity? Was it someone in the congregation who are they members of the congregation, or did they just come from the neighborhood and not necessarily already connected with the congregation?
Well, 2 of them are people who live down the street, mm-hmm. and they weren't connected to the congregation, and now they are connected to our congregation, and then the other people are families and friends of people in our congregation. Like Pastor said, it wasn't about, it's just for us.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is for people, and it wasn't about, well, this is, we're trying to get the gospel in here. I mean, not the gospel. It wasn't about just trying to get people in the church. Mm-hmm. It's trying to live alongside of people like Jesus did and bring the gospel. So, and we have, I mean, there's a lot of other families, but these families are learning about it by word of mouth, from people in our church, through Facebook, through our church website. But most of the kids are telling other kids, and they're coming out, so.
You mentioned that you've got a real broad spectrum of ages. Pastor Holzerland, is that the case as well with the garden at Shepherd King Lutheran Church? Is it broad spectrum of ages of those who are involved with the garden there?
Yeah, we only have maybe probably a couple of youth who are coming in with family members to garden. But there's probably, what I see are some younger couples and some older couples and some older and younger single people who come in and use it. And so that's kind of, you know, I say age range, mm-hmm. what that might be. There's some other, I think there's a couple other couples who have younger children who come and they want to kind of teach them how to garden, how things grow. We have a preschool that's part of our congregation and part of the mission that we have here, and our preschool has a plot. And so I always get a big chuckle out of the preschool teacher marching down to the garden, and they're taking a look at, you know, what's growing and how it's growing. And she does a great job of incorporating, okay, here's what it means to live in God's creation, to take care of a garden and how things grow and giving thanks to God and the harvest. And so she's used that as a great learning tool for, I'd say, two different areas. One of, let's say, biology or science, and another one of showing how God works in creation.
Sure. I would think a garden is just full of teachable moments, lots of opportunities for teaching right there in the garden. That I could think of as an educator. There are so many things that could be learned there, that could be taught there.
Right. And in our Vacation Bible School, there have been some years where some of the lessons were a parable of Jesus, and, you know, there's so many mm-hmm. of them that are related to farming or agriculture, and so you can go into the garden and use that as an illustration of looking at the different plots and the different ways in which they're growing, and some have more weeds than others. And if you think of the parable, the sower and the seed, I think that was one that was used on one year for Vacation Bible School, and so the teachers had an opportunity. There was really a object lesson there. They could see it firsthand and what those different soils were like.
You bring up a really good point. You know, God's people historically have been an agrarian society. They've been agrarian people. And so much of Scripture is written in a way that speaks to, it's written for all of God's people, but it's written for all people. But much of it includes language that an agrarian people would understand, and phrases and things like that they would understand, terms that they would understand. And so to have something like this in a society today that's very consumer-based, to be able to offer a setting like that, gosh, think of how that can, as you pointed out, help us understand what Jesus is teaching us in the parables.
Yeah, it's a wonderful illustration, and again, the children in the community, since you know, growing locally and community mm-hmm. gardens and everything with nature is stressed on such a heavy basis, that now you can go back and use that as a tool then to teach these different sections of Scripture that speak directly to it. And again, we've kind of incorporated that, like I said, in VBS and in our preschool, and if it comes up in the readings that we have for our Sunday school, then there's another opportunity that we can use it in that way. So it becomes a wonderful way for our children who don't usually, we're going to say, mm-hmm. Have that kind of opportunity in their backyard or in their neighborhood.
Right, right. Yeah, planting any mustard seed? There's parables about that, right?
Well, the preschool teacher I know has planted, I can't remember what she put, it wasn't mustard seed, but it was something that had a very, very small and tiny seed to it. And the four-year-old class was just fascinated that something could come up and grow with such a tiny little black seed.
Oh, sure, sure. There's some herbs, certainly, and even lettuce and things like that come from really, a lot of greens come from really tiny seeds. Yeah. Well, we are discussing community gardens at St. Paul Community Lutheran Church in Pontiac, Michigan, and Shepherd King Lutheran Church in West Bloomfield, Michigan. We need to take a quick break. Hope you can continue to join us for the rest of the conversation, listeners, right here on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. We'll be right back right after this.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Barack Obama nominated the first non-Christian to serve as Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom. Rabbi Saperstein is a longtime activist for many things contrary to Scripture, like abortion on demand, homosexual marriage, and partial birth abortion. Most alarming is that he's the guy who's supposed to advocate religious freedom, yet he opposes the Supreme Court's Hobby Lobby decision allowing their religious freedom. This man, who's often referred to as Obama's rabbi, called the court's ruling troubling and a significant obstacle to women's equality and health. This latest effort by the most pro-abortion president in our nation's history is another in a very long list of radical activist power plays to oppose religious freedom.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
Emergent church leader Brian McLaren has recently said that the church is entering a new era of biblical interpretation, authority, and inspiration. He calls it Bible 3.0. What does this mean? Live Friday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting about Brian McLaren's view of the future of Christianity.
Issues Etc., live weekday afternoons from 3 to 5 on KFUO.
What does this mean? To many Lutherans in America, this one simple question brings to mind the days of confirmation classes, memorizing Luther's small catechism with the pastor. But did you know that the Holy Spirit continues to call thousands of people all around the world to faith in Him through this powerful little book translated into the languages of the people? Visit lhfmissions.org to learn how you can help the Lutheran Heritage Foundation deliver this book of the faith to new Christians worldwide.
Hello, I'm Rod Zwanitzer, Director of Broadcast for KFUO. We totally depend on the gracious supporters who want this gospel voice to continue and expand as the messenger of good news of Christ. A wonderful part of this support is our underwriters, an ever-increasing number, and so we ask you to find out who they are by checking them out on our website or as you hear them here on KFUO. Write, call, or tell them how much you appreciate their support of Worldwide KFUO.
For the second year in a row, Thrivent Financial for Lutherans is proud to have been named one of the world's most ethical companies by the Ethisphere Institute. This recognition is given to organizations that go beyond making statements about doing business ethically and translate those words into action. Why Thrivent Financial? As a Christian membership organization, our shared values guide everything we do. When you work with us, you can be sure we strive to take great care to act responsibly and with integrity. To learn more, check us out at thrivent.com.
Hi, I'm Pastor Ted Lesh, pastor at Chapel of the Cross Lutheran Church in North St. Louis County, inviting you to listen to our KFUO radio worship broadcasts on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Active worship, preaching, music, and singing are part of every one of our services at Chapel. Join us Sunday nights at 6. It's one more broadcast worship opportunity for you from your friends at Chapel of the Cross and KFUO Radio.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are discussing community gardens at St. Paul Community Lutheran Church in Pontiac, Michigan, and Shepherd King Lutheran Church in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Our guests are Pastor Dietrich Gladden from St. Paul and Pastor Tim Holzerlin from Shepherd King Lutheran Church in West Bloomfield. We've been, before the break, we were talking about some of the people that have gotten involved in the community gardens, and some, in some cases, young children, and been used as an outdoor classroom, if you will, a classroom without walls for some of the younger children in the preschool at Shepherd King, but people of all ages, including those who are retired and maybe have some more time for leisure, but even families using them as an opportunity to teach their children about God's creation and what He's given us. And I think there has to be, I'm sure, a wealth of stories that have come out of these community gardens that you've established. Pastor Holzerlin, are there any stories, any stories from the community garden there at Shepherd King. It sounds like you guys have been doing this a while.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. I want to say maybe time goes by so fast. I'll get it wrong. In the one member, her name is Diane York. She was really the one that brought that to me and said, "Hey, this is what we should be doing." And she's a great gardener. But I want to say like 4 or 5 years, maybe. Maybe it's been going on longer, but I'm thinking it's at that particular time frame. It was interesting when we opened it up to the Head Start families in Farmington, and part of that community is diverse as well. And what we've noticed when we've helped them out in various different times of the year with backpacks and Thanksgiving and Easter and other times, that there are a certain segment of the Head Start families have come overseas from different countries. And so English is not a first language to them, and the parents are learning, and the children obviously pick it up more than the parents. But there is one particular family who came from, I want to say, Nigeria or one of the countries in Africa, and they had a plot there, and I have a plot as well, and I'll go out and talk with some of the people when I see them out there. And this woman's plot was not too far from mine, and I started to notice, boy, there's a lot of weeds. And then she came out there, and it's like, okay, what's a really nice way of saying, please pull the weeds of your garden? But I said, you know, I noticed those. She said, you know, these plants are there. Do you know what they are? Don't you think you maybe want to pull them? And she goes, oh, no, I'm not ready to pull them yet. And I said, what do you mean? Well, I came to find out they're not weeds, but they look sort of like weeds. But they have she actually had some of these seeds that she brought from Africa, and they turn into a pod that they pick, and they use it as a protein substitute because there's not a lot of meat that they could have from the place where they came from, Africa. And so what I thought was a whole garden plot filled with weeds was actually something that a plant that they used to help supplement the protein in their diet. So I'm learning something kind of internationally through that community garden. But it was a great way for us to begin a conversation. And there's just so many of them that get started that way. We've even had a young couple who live in West Bloomfield who came to worship because they saw the community garden, and tell us more about your mission and your involvement in the community. And it was something that they were very interested in, and later on came to join us in our congregation. And they were a young couple at the time, and she was pregnant, and we have their son baptized, and they're a great addition to our congregation.
Thank goodness that no one in that previous story, no one was overzealous and started doing weeding for her.
Right, you know, it's always it's almost like a protected, sacred area for all these people, you know. So we've been doing it for 5 years. So those who started, like the first year we've had our community garden, I mean, their plot is like their little sacred area. If you ask them to move to a different section, they're like, no way. I mean, you know, I've worked this plot and, you know, put in fertilizer and everything else. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I
got the soil right how you want it.
Right, yeah. Right. I'm not going to give that up.
Absolutely.
And in West Bloomfield, we have to be really conscious with all the lakes and marshes in the area to be as organic as possible, and we don't have anything, any other kind of material or other things that would hurt
sure.
The lakes and the streams in the area.
Certainly. Well, it's great to hear that it served as a way to engage in conversation with your neighbors and to welcome that couple and now that little boy into the congregation as well, to connect them with that word and sacrament ministry right there.
Yeah, our primary goal is to baptize and teach, and that's how you make disciples. But you have to engage the community in ways you reach out to them. And just like I think so many people who came to Jesus, they came for what we'd say worldly reasons or material reasons, and Jesus would teach them the important things of the kingdom of heaven. So that's what we try to do with a community garden. It isn't just having a community garden really doesn't make us disciples, but what we do with it and how we lead people to baptizing and teaching. And that may, you know, God blessed us within that time period, you know, to have one particular person. But, you know, we've got, you know, 50, 60, 70 gardeners at one time. Not all of them are asking us about Jesus Christ or what it means to be part of a Christian congregation.
Right. You're right. Having a garden doesn't make disciples, but look at the opportunity that was there to connect them with the Word and because of the garden right there.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah, it's a great tool to use.
Pastor Gladden, I'm sure that there are stories that have come out of the garden there at St. Paul. How has the community embraced this garden? What are some of the stories that you like to share about it?
Well, I mean, the embracement of the garden has been really good in our community. It's like I said, given us opportunity to just bring a little bit change of life, but also a change of who we are as men and women, and build trust in a lot of the people in our community, because there's a lot of people who are guarded here. But I, you know, like I said, with Preston, it was really good because it was almost like a place for him to relieve all his stress, his anger, and it allowed us to teach him or allowed us to walk along with him. And it was funny because I'm not a person that loves to be in a garden before I met this garden. I grew up in an inner city also in Newark, New Jersey, and it was all concrete and stuff. So, I mean, I didn't know how to do a lot, but talking with Preston and talking with other people, we learn how to, what different plants are and stuff like that. But in many ways, it's been a really great opportunity for us to, in that area of teaching people to obey and understand and teaching people values of life, you know, because like you said, there are so many different ways for us to look at the gospel, but there's so many different ways for us to look at God created this wonderful creation, and this is what it's for. A lot of our youth and on our family nights on Wednesday night, a lot of our youth, that's one thing they do. They go work in a garden, and some of the stories that I hear of the kids sitting there and just the counseling opportunities and the prayer opportunities where they pray God and thanking God for the riches that are there so they can give to someone and sharing it and them reaching out to others. So those type of opportunities. We have one family here that their dad died, was murdered here at 4th of July, and it was all in the newspaper in Michigan, and he was shot here at fireworks on Perry. And a lot of those kids are in our garden on Wednesday night. And, you know, we do Bible study, and one night the leaders came and got me, and they said, you know, we need to pray and we need to talk. But the life change that happened just from a kid taking care of a small garden, like he was working in the cantaloupe area, and he was just out there picking, and he was so angry at losing his father in the way it was, the man who was standing there. But he was asking God questions, and over the time, he was able to see what Christ was doing in front of him, and
with the help of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit using the leaders there, we were able to combine and talk to him. And, you know, he comes back to church. He's doing better in school. The young lady, the older lady who brought her grandchildren, they were abused and stuff, and gives her a great opportunity because she can't go too many other places with them to have all the majority of her grandchildren there. And, you know, what's cool is last Sunday, 7 of her grandchildren were baptized. So, I mean, it gives us great opportunity, great teaching tools, great opportunity for just sitting and listening and hearing what people have, but watching just the touch of what God has created, whether it's the fuzz that you get off of certain plants like a cantaloupe or a pumpkin, and they start asking that question and they start talking about life situations because it's taking them off of what's going on in this rough neighborhood that they have, and asking questions of, hey, how can I, you know, not be inducted into a gang? And, you know, we'd say, well, come to the garden and come talk to us. And a lot of times, with because we do community service, we're out there. I'm out there with people doing community service, and we're out there just talking and pulling weeds, or maybe pulling snap peas off of off the plants, and it's just talking about situations and able to bring the gospel to them that way. So there's a lot of great opportunities to reach out and have the Great Commission at hand. So, I mean, it's wonderful for me because I'm learning that it's just more than just where Paul says it's more than just talking. It's what is caught, and what I mean by what is caught is what people see. And that being out there in the garden, people see you being you, because when I stick my hand down in the dirt and there's a worm and I go, ugh, I'm a big guy. You know, and they go, well, you're scared? I go, yeah. And a little kid comes along and he grabs it and he takes it to the other side. But then you think about it and you go back and look, you know, that worm needs to be there. So, you know, we can help them out and it can help us out. So, I mean, learning what God has created and the values of each thing out there has been able to give us the opportunity to show people that life is valued. Don't throw it away with drugs. Don't throw it away with being enticed by what sin has out there. The gospel is there.
It sounds like in your neighborhood, the garden has kind of softened some of the barriers between people, between neighbors, so that you have more opportunities to have casual conversations, to talk about what's going on in their lives, and opportunities to tell the good news about Jesus right there in the middle of the garden.
Right, right. God said he walked with Adam and Eve, mm-hmm. You know. Why can't he walk with us right here in our garden?
When you're pulling up worms.
It's a great loving opportunity.
Especially while you're pulling up worms right there, huh?
Right.
For both of you who have seen these garden projects, these community gardens take off and do well, what advice might you have? What does it take to have a garden go successfully like this? To you know, I know Pastor Holsterland, yours is in a prime location where people can see it, and Pastor Gladden, yours is in a community where there aren't a lot of opportunities to garden in a plot like that, maybe with a container or something like that. But what does it take for something like this to really be successful, to engage the community? We'll start with Pastor Holsterland, and we'll go to Pastor Gladden.
Well, I'd say you want to have definitely a group in your congregation who are behind it, who will say, I'll be the first ones to take a hold of a plot and to plant. You know, we have a contract that we've taken from other places that we've used, so that there is everybody understands what it means to garden, what they're going to do, and what they're responsible for. I think you have to have a congregational support as well in terms of we're going to take this particular part of our lawn or our land and use it for this purpose, and here are the reasons why. In certain years are drier than others, which means, you know, a water source, where is that going to come from? I think you really want to be very purposeful in where it's going to be, how big is it going to be, and the resources that the congregation is going to use.
Mm-hmm.
For us, you know, we have higher water bills in the summer that we don't normally have. And so, you know, a congregation has to be aware, you know, this increased water bill is part of the mission and ministry that we're going to have if we're going to have a community garden. And I think the other thing is to help people realize that there's going to be times when the garden is going to change, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And especially for some of our more fluent people, I think they, you know, falsely believe that I'm going to dig it up, I'm going to plant something, I water it for one time, and then come back in, you know, August and September and just start picking it like I would in a grocery store. There's a teaching there, you know, that has to take place. Have you ever had a garden before? Do you know what it takes? And help people that way. We're always looking for ways in which we can get other partners in the community more involved. West Bloomfield has its own community garden in a portion that's run by Parks and Recreation in West Bloomfield. They think it's wonderful that we have a garden because their garden fills up, you know, in March. I mean, mm-hmm. There's people that, boom, they have nowhere to go. People call in West Bloomfield, you know, gee, I really wanted to have a garden, but you're full. And they always refer those gardeners to us. So that's a nice partnership that's there. The other partnerships that we're looking for in the future, there's a place next door to us to the west, Walled Lake, that has a place called Hospitality House, and it's a place where people bring groceries and food items, and it's kind of like a food pantry. They're looking to expand their ministry, and they're trying to help their members, or the people that come there, not just to pick up groceries, but are there some ways at which you could help yourself? Maybe one of those ways is having a garden. So we're trying to partner with them that we would be more than happy to give them a certain amount of plots, and they can teach people in the community how to garden so that they can help themselves. So we're always looking for ways in which we can kind of expand that circle. And I think if you have a community garden, you kind of want to look for those ways to get increase involvement from individuals, companies, groups. There's all sorts of ways in which mm-hmm. you can kind of expand the influence.
Pastor Gladden, with just about a half a minute, what's your encouragement to those who might be considering starting a garden?
Well, I would encourage people that are starting a garden to take it slow. Really look at the area and give opportunities for others outside, not just in your congregation, but others outside in the congregation to bond with each other, and the pastors to get out there, because it really opens up and shows your transformation of who you are, and people get to see you.
Mm-hmm.
It opens you and makes you transparent. And it allows people to see you who you are, other than just the pastor up there and stuff. So I encourage congregations and pastors, and like Pastor said, to bond with other and work with other people in the community, because we have a program called Micah 6 here in Pontiac that is buying up land on the south side of Pontiac, putting in gardens and orchards. So it gives us the opportunity to work with them, but it also gives us the opportunity to work with people in our just the community around here, and involve other churches in your Winkle too.
Thanks, Pastor. We've got to wrap up now. We are out of time, but we've been talking with Pastor Dietrich Gladden from St. Paul Community Lutheran Church in Pontiac, Michigan. Thanks for being our guest today, Pastor Gladden.
Well, thank you.
And Pastor Tim Holzerlund from from Shepherd King Lutheran Church in West Bloomfield, Michigan. Thanks for being our guest today.
You're welcome.
God's blessings to you both and the work that you all are doing there. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got Thy Strong Word right here on Listener Supported Worldwide, KFUO, the messenger of good news.